Has everyone had the chance to grab something to eat? It's interesting.
What did he say?
Yes.
No, he said human.
I think we're going to get started here really quickly. We're running 20 minutes late, so we can start a quick check-in. I'm Kurt. I'm doing great.
Let's not change that.
Aaron.
Aaron Grand. I'm doing well. Well as well.
I'm Chris Merrick, program director.
Couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better.
3 for 3.
Wow. I wasn't thinking I was doing so good because I spent a lot of my afternoon stuck in traffic. But you know, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was sunny and stuff. No accidents. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm Judy. I'm happy
that you're going to be here.
No, this thing is like real.
I'm Becky, and I'm fine.
I'm Laura, and I was just in a car accident, so I'm very happy to be here.
You're welcome.
And I just celebrated my 12th wedding anniversary.
Woo! Congratulations!
And I'm Lewis. I'm really pretty good. Probably my last meeting as official board member.
Wow.
However, I'll be here next month. I won't be really quite yet. I think we're good to facilitate the next meeting.
Until there's replacement.
But in the meantime, tonight, Kurt is in charge.
I'm really not good at being in charge. If someone else is good at being in charge, I would be more than happy to pass the torch.
No, but I'm good.
Yay. All right, now there are a couple things that I was asking.
Wait!
Don't forget me. Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the deal? I'm getting here for a while.
We're just invisible.
Morning, servant. I had no trouble getting here, but I had no parking.
Now I can do it.
Okay. But at least you have a car.
Do we have someone to take minutes?
I could go grab the laptop and I could do that.
All right.
Anyone can take.
We'll make a conscious effort not to say anything important for the next 5 minutes. So in the next 5 minutes, I was asked, we should put to a quick vote whether or not we could proceed with a new transmitter and frequency in Chehalis.
What?
This is something that needs to be investigated. It's in Chehalis, Washington, which, according to my little map here, which no one can see, runs right up I-5, and it would be the third.
Wait, we're just voting whether to add that to the agenda?
Just to see if someone could start looking into it. We just need someone to say it's okay to look into this. Lewis brought it up. If you'd like to talk about it, Lewis.
Wait, are we going to do this before public comment?
Yeah, we just wanted to stick it in real quick.
We'll talk about it. There's a potential frequency available in Chehalis. The advantage of that one is it's pretty much contingent to the one we already have, so if you went up by 5, there's probably a little area of a few miles that you might have a little trouble receiving one or the other, but it's almost close to one or the other. And what the request, well, what we want to know is, should we pursue looking into this? No money, just do we want to find out what it takes to get, can we get it? Do you have to apply to the FCC for a license? So, anyway, so we just want to know whether we'd like for engineering to pursue looking in with the possibility of what it would take to get a frequency there.
So I don't have any problem with that. I'm just not sure it's the kind of thing that the board needs to decide anyway.
We're not asking for money at the moment, but it would be a money down the road if we decide to do it.
But I mean, I think each department should always just be looking at stuff like that on their own without seeking input, and then should come to the board once they have information about their decision.
Mm-hmm. Anybody object to that?
No.
Okay.
Knowledge is power.
There was somebody in the audience. So.
I have a question. Chehalis, in the case of a Pendleton station, we know that there's a market. There's an unserved population there, too. At least there is, of course, prisoners, and then there's a Hispanic population, and then there's a rural population. that could absolutely be identified as underserved. In Chehalis, do we have any, what's the market there?
Well, it's the signal would reach to, virtually to, right to the edge of the one in Portland, and it would extend up through Olympia and probably into much of Tacoma. So that's,
wow, that'd
that's,
be cool.
That's, so that's, it would cover Washington along the
way. Yeah. Sweet.
We did the board commissioned a group called the Frequencies Group about 4 or 5 years ago to study this, and Chehalis was at the top of the list for the of the locations and why to pursue.
All right, fair.
Chehalis is right next door to Centralia. About 100 years ago, the American Legion used to do IWW people. We could broadcast a little living history.
So anyway, we will for sure look into it, then, I guess is what the answer we got.
Wally Riot in 1919.
Yes. Yep.
They'll keep you up at night.
Never forget.
So are you going to look into that?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
John, you get that here.
Great.
He's
okay.
John to do that.
Great.
We don't know.
Right. Were there any other questions on that?
No, it's good to check that.
Should we run a public comment?
Yes.
Public comment. Fantastic. I do not have to sign up. Oh. It went out again.
They keep coming in with me.
All righty. We have... several questions. I'll just go to the people that say yes first. We'll come back to the people with question marks. Vijay, we have a self-intro. Let's get that
Hi,
one.
Hi, I'm the new web coordinator.
Oh,
my name is Vijay Bhosha. I have about 15 years of web experience, about a year and a half of Drupal experience, which is our content management system. I'm a librarian by trade, and I've been a radio head for a long time.
Chris Andre, you were the next. Yes.
Well, as a new board member, I wanted to. I'd like to know where we actually are. I should probably have attended more board meetings and stuff, and it became more contentious than I was willing to sit through. Contention's okay. I'm comfortable with it. I like the idea of the Chehalis thing. I don't have any specific questions except what is the board's most proactive priorities right now? Please someone bring me up to speed a bit.
For the last few meetings, we've been...
I would say this. At 7 o'clock, which is probably earlier than it's actually going to be, set up meet and greet a new board member orientation. Like what we're going to try to do before the next board meeting is have a chance for all the new board members to get together and discuss things like that. As opposed to answering that. Because I'm sure you're going to have a different answer from your board about what's the most important thing they're working on or something.
Generally, I think of the check-in as public comments as people giving us comments, and it's not generally a thing where there's been a lot of explanation.
I guess it's my understanding that elected board members aren't seated until the next meeting. Is that
correct? Yes.
I think maybe that's part of what you're asking. So you're elected, but you're not seated.
Everything everybody said is all part of the answer.
Okay.
So the outgoing board members are voting tonight, but the incoming are not.
That's correct. Yeah. Next meeting. Yeah. Okay.
See, that was part of it, too.
All right, we have no other yes comments. So, Tara, is there anything you'd like to say?
Okay.
Keller?
I'm good.
Thank you. Yvette?
I don't have it right now. I meant to bring it, but I didn't. But I'll just bring it next time around. But just so I thought I would just mention that I found something called the Donor Bill of Rights. And it's basically for the donors, you know, who donate to KBOO and so forth. And it's stuff like, you know, they have a right to ask questions and have them be answered. Basic stuff. And I just thought it would be a good idea for KBOO. And I don't have it memorized. I can't answer a lot of questions on it, but... I just thought I'd put the heads up on it. Anybody can Google it, donor bill of rights, you know, and anyway. I'll just, next meeting, I'll bring copies and, you know, people can talk about it more formally.
Paula?
It's actually just really quick. Thank you to everybody who is outgoing for being here and for being on this board, because it wasn't an easy time at all. And thanks to those who at least voted for me. I can't speak for anybody else. Maybe they're not as thankful, no, I'm kidding. No, because it was a very close race, and I just appreciated people putting their action behind their words, sort of thing.
Thank you.
Alicia?
I'll hold off for now.
I wanted to make sure to catch you with your mouth full. So that
yes. Excellent.
Glenn, you have an SQ. I don't know what SQ is.
Well, I promised to bring her a hard copy of the Donor Bill of Rights, and that was something that didn't get done this afternoon. Sorry.
Alrighty, and Devin?
Spear hasn't moved me yet.
Okay. Well then, I will make one last request. Is there anyone who has anything else to ask or say during public comment?
Actually, there was one thing that was talked about being added to the agenda, but I don't remember seeing it on there. We were going, Judy had brought up maybe revisiting the board appointment for the strategic planning.
Would we like to do that during the meet and greet with new board member orientation?
Okay. Because it has to be, you know, the board has to be appointing the person.
Why don't we add that to before the 5-minute break at 7:40?
Okay. And
just do 10 minutes or something.
And what would you like to call this one again? The
strategic
planning. Okay. You know, I didn't bring my photocopy of mine, but I can go make some more photocopies if you need some more too. Okay.
I have somebody else make the
photocopies. Yeah, I can make photocopies.
Well,
yeah,
you're trying to meet it. Of the agenda?
Of the agenda.
Right.
Oh,
make them. Yeah. Sure. Chris, we got Chris with the photocopy.
There we go. He's
going
to write it on the board.
He's going to write it on the board.
Okay.
Next item up was finance.
Yeah. Here's the budget packets. Chris has one. And I numbered the pages. I wasn't able to make the last finance meeting, so Paula might be able to help with this, unless Chris. There was an email from Debbie as well about changes since the last board meeting to the draft, which aren't very many. They include adding $1,000 to the web advertising income and $2,000 to the volunteer training expense item. So the actual operating budget isn't, you know, much different than the last time you saw it.
I just doesn't need approval today.
We need to vote on it today. Or I don't know what.
Start off the new year without a budget.
Yeah, right.
For the sake of precedent, I'll just note that that has happened before. It's not like the world stops, but it's not a good thing.
One of the things that might be confusing, there's staff salaries, pages 11 and 12, and then page 14 is staff salaries with a management position added. The one that's in the actual operating budget is without a manager position. And you see that on page 11, line 9 is zeroed out. And Debbie just provided that in case people wanted to compare. Questions? Comments?
seen this so many times that we're able to quote it from memory. I would definitely like to see us voting this in or out within the next few minutes. So, is there something we could?
Well, I don't have any questions. I have a general comment on the budget. So what I see is that this is basically the same budget we've been passing for the past few years. It has the same amount of deficit. We're just kind of doing things the same way we have every year and continuing to have the same shortfall between the income and the spending, although last year we budgeted for higher income that we didn't make, but we ended up with the same deficit either way. I think it's okay to do that for one more year because it just sort of maintains stability, but I think it really is time to cut to the chase. We've done a lot on the programming changes, and supposedly the idea is with better programming we get more members and listeners. I think we have to wrap up the programming changes, and it seems like from what I've heard there's some outstanding work on the Pittman grant that we have to finish up, and so I encourage the staff to make sure that gets done on time. What I would like to see, in addition to the strategic planning, is an assessment of our equipment. I feel like in the years I've been on the board, that's something where we're just always getting requests to pay for this or pay for that, and I'm not really sure we have a good inventory. And I've heard things that we've budgeted to buy equipment that hasn't been set up, or there's equipment around that people don't know. And so I think that would be really helpful moving forward, is to get an objective sense of where we are with equipment. What equipment do we need to do better? I don't know why we don't have our second stream going. I don't know why we're not really maximizing all the things we could do, and I'd like that as part of the strategic planning. I think, because I don't think that next year I would approve the same budget of just paying staff the same to do the same thing over and over. So I think the programming changes have been positive, and I'd like to see that wrapped up, but I think the internet and the web and the computers and the translators, I don't think since I've been on the board, I have a kind of good sense of whether we're spending the money appropriately there or not.
Go ahead. One comment we had talked about in finance maybe 2 months ago was Debbie was potentially going to come to the board and ask for an update in her finding the peach tree so that she could do assets and depreciated value of all the equipment, which would be an engineering and Debbie project, so that we could have better insurance on what we have. So I know that's a project that she's discussed working with engineering in the past to and I think there has been some inventory done in the past, but to get all that information in a way that she can use it in her financial statements. Because I think that was something that Linda Barkis, the mid-year person, mentioned would be a better way to track our
One thing that was brought up at the budget retreat was doing some sort of a energy type of audit of our operations here, because there could be some savings in there that we're totally missing out on, and I don't know what would be a realistic date do that, but I would like to see a date put forth by the staff in terms of us passing this budget based on that we're going to revisit some of our kinds of costs in those areas before a year is out. So I don't know, 3 months that could be done, or I don't know what's realistic.
It seems like something Mel might get excited about.
And Bruce.
And
the facilities manager for an energy audit set. I'm sorry, I was catching up the notes.
To come back to the board.
3 months from now? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Lewis, you had something to follow us in?
Yeah. Follow on a little bit with what Becky said, which is convenient. You brought it up. HD multicast training for our other channels. I think probably the appropriate place to start is to send the chief engineer for training on HD so we can talk about doing HD training, but that's a $1,600 cost. That's quite a budget. the budget item. So that's, what, do you have more on that? Are there any comments or questions about that?
It's something you want to add to the auxiliary budget?
Yeah, well, I'm going to make it as part of the engineering budget, so yes, it'd be.
It would be operating.
Be operating, yeah, but we'd like to have it known and added.
Can I kind of just say something about that?
I'd like for you to say something. He's the more expert on this.
I think HD is one big unexplored area of possible expansion for us. The capability of adding more time for our week, and at the same time adding more listeners and more memberships. It's a new thing, and HD has recently become possible, and I believe that this may be one of our greater opportunities in the future. And I personally believe that this is has a greater capability than it did in the streaming. But you could actually stream some of what we have HD2 also. So I think this is.
But is that something that would be added to the training?
It would be under training.
Yeah,
yeah. It would be training and not just engine. Yeah, because engineering is specific.
And you know it's $1,600.
Right now it's
$1,600. Is that for just one person to be trained?
Yes.
Right now it's on page 8.
That's the total.
Auxiliary budget.
HD is a great new thing.
That's totally.
What page? Sorry.
It's like page 8, line 48.
Did you get training involved?
Of the auxiliary budget.
So it's in the auxiliary budget?
It's in the parking lot. As
right. So that would probably get moved, though.
Yeah, that's right.
If we were operating. But either way, it's still money.
Yes, right.
Is that something board members are interested in?
I'd rather have just like an analysis that, you know, sending one person to a training is the best use of the whole. I mean, I don't understand the whole project well enough to know that that's the best way to start.
Now, also, I have looked into the HD signal, and one thing I've come up with in my very, very limited research is there's also a fee, a continuing yearly fee for HD. John, do you know anything about that?
That's for commercial stations.
Commercial stations only, okay.
Non-commercial does not have that.
Thank you. Thank you. That was something that would have to have been added to the budget if we continue. Paula, did you want to add?
Yes, I just wanted to say very quickly that I mean, I appreciate the dialogue that's happening about the budget, expenses, income, et cetera. This isn't the first time these numbers have hit the board. So it's great to have the brainstorming about what the staff and volunteers can do, but the board needs to buy in also. And responsible for some of this fiscal shortfall, because some of the expenses were based on decisions made by the board that's currently seated. So therefore, the income, Becky's somewhat right, the income has sort of stabilized because we lost positions and then we added some positions that have somewhat shored up the income side of things. The expenses, what's interesting about those are that we keep getting hit and blindsided by unexpected expenses. So really, the staff in general has been maintaining a fairly stable structure, but the unexpected expenses are really huge, and they've happened not just this year, but previous years. And so I can say this as a future seated board member, that's one of my goals, is to tackle how we can bring in more income and hopefully mitigate any need to spend money unwisely. So just to let everybody know, it's crazy to see the deficit. I can't guarantee that you won't see it again next year, because it's not just KBU. It's, you know, larger. You know, OPB seeing money decreases. The Pacifica Networks had some major internal stuff going on in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, as far as things go, we should be seeing improvement. I plan to make that one of my missions and goals, and I think I can speak on behalf of some of the other newly elected members as well.
So. Glenn, first, did your hand go up? I saw your hand. Okay.
I wanted to ask you, Paula, what when you're talking about the unexpected expenses, Imagine one of them was the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. What other kinds of examples? You said not just this year, but...
Previous years, it has been electronics, our system, you know, shortfalls, and...
Like what, a hard drive or the...
Well, some of that, and I've seen it in previous minutes. I mean, I went back and read minutes where it's been brought to the board's attention that there may be a need for something, nothing was actually done about it, and then a few months later, things go kaput and they cost more money than what was originally estimated. Right. So, you know, I mean, it's hard to kind of gauge that when you feel like you're putting out fires all the time, and I get that. However, I do feel that that has to be placed somewhere, and someone should be accountable for that, and it's not just a general staff oversight. So we can cut a lot of expenses, but decision-making has to be considered a factor as well.
So perhaps the board liaison to the finance committee could make a specific effort to keep track of
that's Erin,
that kind
apparently.
Of...
She's been doing a very good job. Unfortunately, she stepped in while there were fires.
Well, that's it. Things like our bank card fees went through the roof, and we've, you know, we're in the process. Mel did, spearheaded a really great comparison of how to do credit card transactions and that sort of thing. So things are being done.
That is partly as well, that's what I'm saying. Like, staff have been trying to do things, but then there are so many things to do. But if they have more support quickly or quicker, I think then things can get done a lot faster. Personally, that's just what I've observed in my year and a half here.
Judy?
I just wanted to make a response to, I guess, the way, Paula, you sort of expressed that about how this board handled things, which is why we're in the mess.
It's not just this board. I said previous years. I mean, it's whomever, but the board doesn't have as much buy-in as staff and other volunteers do.
Well, that's the thing that I think that's important for us not to be finger-pointing, that it is a collective community here, and different people have played lots of different parts in all the decisions that have been made, and that's my...
I was just responding since you mentioned specific situations, so I was just responding to that as well.
Well, I think that Lewis's comment about the HD training, it's in this parking lot of auxiliary budget, and I think it should stay there until if there's certain questions Becky has, that sort of thing, and that we know that that's something, it's been brought to our attention, and I think that is great. But I would make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2011 budget as drafted by the many arms of people that came to.
And there's no other changes that was added.
I mean, the biggest change that could be a possible discussion, which is what Debbie added, this possible scenario of a station management position.
But we're not voting on that. We're voting on the budget we have.
We could vote to fund that
position. I understand that, but what we're voting now, when we're saying that we're accepting this budget, is without the position.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure.
And with an increase in Erin's hours.
Yeah. Okay. And the 1,000, and expecting to at least get 1,000 from the government.
Yeah.
So those were the differences from when we had it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Chris wanted to. Yeah, there's a last-minute budget item from an engineering meeting this afternoon, which is inside of our PTFP grants, which we got last year. That was a $22,000 grant. The government gives us half of that, $11,000, and about $9,000 of that was budgeted to buy two small mixing boards for Studio 2 and the digital editing suite. The company that we were going to buy them from no longer makes them. And John has put, what we have to do with the government is we have to put it out to bid. So he solicited three bids and found two more mixers. They would go up in price to about $13,000. So Caden's already raised $11,000. in matching, which is mandatory for the PTFP, but this would add another $4,000. So unless we start over and try to find two more mixing boards to finish this project, which is due by May of next year, we would probably need to raise another $4,000 or take it out of reserves to buy this equipment. Sorry for 4 hours notice.
And grant money is dependent on this?
We'll spend all $11,000 of the PTFP grant already. They won't match the remaining $4,000, though. So we're going over our own half of the budget to finish the job. So that's most of the money. What's left is just cables, a little labor and wiring and stuff. So the mixing boards are 90% of the money.
It'd be my opinion that we should definitely try to get these mixers if we can. What do you think our chances are of being able to successfully raise the money so we don't have to dip into our funds? Are there any people that we can hit up for a specific kind of fundraising thing? And how much time would we have to raise that money?
Well, we have until May.
Of this year or
next year. Yeah, next May.
But we wouldn't want to wait that long because we want to buy this equipment and that won't be available forever, right?
There's probably two or three different ways we could try to do some fundraising or something.
Yeah, I'd like to try that first if we can.
How much did this cost?
$13,000 up from $9,000, rough estimate.
Well, and this was a grant that we got in fiscal year 2009. And we did have a capital campaign to raise our money, and then for some reason we just never spent it, and then the prices went up. Is that right?
The equipment we bought within the budget doesn't exist anymore.
Well, we didn't buy it. Right.
Well, we tried to buy it, but it didn't exist, so we had to start all over again with bidding.
So line 6 of the auxiliary budget is carryover. It's carryover that we approved it already last year. So line 7 is what Chris is talking about, Studio 2 and Digital Editing Suite. So we'd be adding another $4,000 to that line item if we were to approve it now, which would make the auxiliary budget go to page 7. Would make the auxiliary budget go to $40,000
from $36,000. I think if I can follow up from Griffin's question, so that the equipment was not bought at an earlier date when it could have been available, is that why it's a little more expensive? That's what I was just wondering about.
I can help with that. Okay. The reason why the equipment wasn't bought earlier was because we spec'd out the equipment, and we put that in for the grant request, and it takes like 9 months to hear back from the grant request. And the grant was granted or approved. Then we went to go buy the equipment, and the equipment was no longer available.
When was the grant approved?
I would say it was last fall.
So from last fall to 4 hours ago, that's the amount of time it took to find out that you weren't going to be able to buy it at the same price. That's a long time to wait. So then you present the board 4 hours. You know, here is something that you could have known since last fall, but you know, you have to make a decision on this budget right now.
Well, you know,
I kind of have issues with that.
That's actually not the case. So I could continue explaining if you want me to. Okay. What I was told by the manufacturer in Colorado was once we get an order of 5, we'll go ahead and make another run of them. And I said, great, we'll be 2 of those 5. We waited for quite a while, was told, you know, as soon as we get 5, we'll make them. About 2.5 months ago, I was then informed, no, unless you buy 5 at once, we're not waiting, we're not going to hold it for 5. How do I say that? They weren't willing to count us as part of 5. We had to be all of 5.
They didn't get the other 5, or other 3, apparently.
They didn't. Finally, what they told me is they didn't care whether or not they got them. Unless we were going to buy 5, they weren't going to hold 2 as part of a package for us, which was totally different than what they had been telling me since last fall. This was about 2.5 months ago I found this out. We then had to contact Chris had to contact the did you say it was Ralph somebody at PTFP?
Walter Shepard.
Had to contact a grant officer, get approval from them to start looking for different mixers. Mm-hmm. I spec'd out a different mixer. We found it. I had to put out bids for a mixer. And then that came back. That's what took 2.5 months, was to go through all the bureaucracy.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that during that 9-month period, up until 2 months ago, you were making a concerted effort to buy equipment that you knew was already discontinued?
Correct, because they said they would make another run for us. Well, and the reason why we spec'd out that specific equipment was because it was nearly identical to the mixers in production one and
that's what I was
going to
say.
Okay.
So we're just buying equipment that was already compatible with everything we already had. Okay. Is that going to affect overloading?
Yes.
I mean, I would propose that
we need to run our
I would propose sale. That we add 4,000 to line 7 of the auxiliary budget. I mean, I understand Mara's concern in wanting to raise money. We also have a pledge drive next week, so
yeah. Can we at least?
I mean, I think this is a project that needs to find its end, and so I would want to approve the money now so that we can move forward with this. These engineering updates happen.
I'd be comfortable with approving the money so that it can go quickly when it has to happen, but I would like to see an effort made to raise the money before we spend our own capital. So if somebody could take that on, seeing about trying to find a way to raise at least part of that 4,000.
The only idea.
And if we can't, then we have the money available.
I mean, one idea that to do that would have Sun contact some of the major donors that
right.
donated the capital campaign and see if they'd like to give another substantial gift. Other than that, it's a lot to put on Sun's plate to raise another 4,000 above the 25,000 we already is.
So is that a motion?
Yeah. Well, I would modify the motion I had for approving the budget to add another 4,000 to line 7 of the auxiliary budget. But then the idea with Sun, that could be something development liaison right there, could see if there's any individuals, because I know there was like a lead gift that was in the thousands for that. That could potentially
just a real quick comment, just to say that I don't think it's going to be possible through development because we already have events coming up that we're asking people for money, and we're between that and the membership drive, so it's going to be pretty difficult within the time frame, because either way, it's going to be a membership or development issue, the way the income streams of cable currently run.
Do you think it's unrealistic? Mm-hmm.
I think, well, in the short time
uh-huh.
frame, I do think, however, that $4,000 over a fiscal year, we could probably recover in some way. So we'll be putting ourselves in a larger deficit by $4,000, but the idea should be to reclaim that money somehow.
Sounds good.
And that would be a great chance for brainstorming by the board as well.
Perhaps. That way we're not pressured, but we can try to deal with that. That
yeah.
sounds great to me.
Mia, do you still second the motion as amended?
Is anyone seconding the motion?
Second.
So my question then was, if there's this issue of the bonuses, do we have to add that in or not before we pass the budget? Do you want to discuss that?
Does that get added? That would be added into this year's budget, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, the one we're in right now is still.
It's now we're not voting on the bonuses.
It would be
it's a separate
vote. It wouldn't be part of this.
Ma'am, is there anything else that needs to be put into this 2011 budget before the vote?
Discussion?
Hello? Is there anything else?
I'll let the board.
All right, and Lewis has seconded. Should we go? All right, all in favor of the voting the new budget for 2011?
say opposed or say
opposed. Okay. All opposed? And those abstaining?
I'm deciding a choice of thing.
And it's on over this last issue, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's.
Okay.
I'm just feeling it. Yeah,
I understand.
I seconded the original.
Yeah, right.
I understood that.
So does that mean you didn't second the?
I did.
Oh, you did.
Okay. Thank you.
I missed that part.
So I can notify Judy of the addition to the budget draft.
Debbie.
Judy, let me tell you about it. Okay.
Now Debbie Rabideau can take a vacation for a week. Actually, 4 days.
Yeah, I wanted to get the draft bonus vote in there before 7 o'clock, but it's 7 o'clock now. Chris, go ahead.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Regarding equipment purchases, what sort of cost-benefit analysis do you do to determine how much is your real budget and how much you want to spend on the equipment based on what that equipment, once it's in use, is likely to generate in terms of revenue for the station? Like, if we buy a mix such and such a mixer, and then use it, and then people maybe like it or don't like it, or like it a little bit, you know, whatever. You know, fund membership drive rolls around, people phone up and say, well, why do you like cable? Well, I like this show a lot more because the sound quality is so much better. And you go, aha, mixer. Right. How does it determine? What's the cost? What is the process?
My understanding is that this particular thing was done 2 years ago based on the idea that there's this federal matching money and we had a specific capital campaign that had different phases. So at that point, there was a committee working on this federal grant. I think right now, and the point that I've been making is I think we're kind of weak on our overall handle on equipment and purchases, and so this year, we're not really making any, in this current budget, we're not really making any big purchases or spent or allocating for any money on that, but we had in the past, and I think there's probably some thought at the time back then when we went for that grant, it just hasn't ever happened yet, but I do think in the future, that's what I was, we need to have a sense of why, or what are we spending
money on. But when we apply for grant, we get the money, so it's like, okay, instead of determining what to buy based on whether or not, you know, what kind of money we have, like, let's start thinking of what we buy in terms of what that's going to bring in.
Well, sorry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think in the past, like I said, this, I don't think we've had a board discussion on buying a bunch of stuff like this. 09 grant was sort of kind of the last big thing. And I think at the time there were committees and staff recommendations and stuff, but it wasn't based on what money will it bring in. It was based on
the needs of program upgrades and
upgrading.
Exactly. But you buy the equipment, you're and based, hopefully, on what we expect, if the revenue is the equipment itself is going to depreciate, so the return on that it has to go up, basically, to take into account depreciation.
I think at the time we were able to raise special money through a capital campaign, pitching it to donors of, hey, we can do all these upgrades and we can get a matching grant. Will you give special money?
But we want to know, so anybody who would put money up into this kind of thing would want to know what we expect, what kind of a return we would expect on that.
I'd like to keep this moving forward. You had one more comment?
They'd answered it when you were talking about thanks.
Staff bonus. Erin, would you like to talk about that?
Well, I wasn't at finance, so Paula, maybe there's just this one paragraph thing that Debbie sent out as part of the email of the budget.
So part of the fiscal year 2011 budget that everybody was looking at, it's in the auxiliary. The deficit does not include a bonus because staff did not want a bonus. there was a whole discussion last year around this time about the idea of a bonus and what bonuses mean, et cetera, et cetera. And there was also discussion about the fact that the staff, by market, a you know real-time market, is severely underpaid. And so the board's decisions have always been, since there aren't COLA increases for the staff, usually, as a general rule, that the bonus kind of was a stopgap, if you will, between the underpaid staff and the cost of living increase that happens incrementally every year. So the staff decided they didn't want a bonus because we're once again facing a deficit, and they know that taking any amount of bonus means that the deficit increases. Finance was pretty much against the idea of not having a bonus because we've always recognized that the staff is severely underpaid. And we mentioned this last year when the fiscal year 10 discussion happened, and we asked that the board review staffing structure, staffing pay, et cetera, et cetera. There were a whole lot of things in turmoil, so that didn't really get addressed. The staff, most staff, I think it's, and Ani or Chris could correct me, I think it's a five-year cap.
Yes.
So any staff that's been here longer than 5 years is still going to make the exact same amount of money that they've been making
20 years ago.
Right. So you have a lot of long-time staff, a couple of them sitting at the table, who aren't going to make any more than they're making now. No one can change the salary structure except the board, which is, in my mind, a better thing to do. It's also allocated better because it's over the entire fiscal year as opposed to this one-time bonus, which gets taxed. And I think the way that it's provided to the staff is as an extra salary, extra paycheck, essentially. Because if you issue it as a bonus, it gets taxed double, essentially. So one way to offset the fact that, you know, here's this great thing that you wouldn't get any money from anyway is to include it as an extra paycheck, which, depending on everybody's situation, can either be a good thing or a bad thing. But that aside, the finance committee usually defers to what the staff wants.
Except in this case.
Right. Usually, right. And we decided that we were not comfortable with the staff going through, because for those of you who may not remember, for fiscal year 10, the staff also decided they didn't want a retirement contribution either. And finance committee wasn't comfortable with that at all. So we said, well, okay, we'll recommend that there not be a retirement contribution. However, we're not going to take away the bonus because it defeats the entire purpose of having staff at KVU. It defeats everything that KVU stands for, which is to serve the underserved. Nobody's more underserved than the staff. Mm-hmm. It's also part of KVU's employment policy.
Thank you.
Which we found out at finance that one of the things in the employment policy is that the staff is to be treated respectfully, and that includes pay in terms of their pay. I'm sure there's argument about whether or not that's been done, and it's not a board issue. It's just a financial feasibility KVU situation. So in any case, staff does not want a bonus. The finance committee does recommend a bonus, and we defer obviously to the board to make that decision.
Not speaking in any way about the staff having a bonus or not having a bonus, because as Paula has basically said everything, it's true we asked not to have one because we're concerned about the deficit, and it's true we haven't had a COLA or anything else in 5 years or more. So it's all true, everything she said. All that said, I had this quick paragraph in front of me, and I'm just puzzling it out. Just for the clarity's sake, if I'm not mistaken, Jenka is actually still a staff member. She's on leave.
Yes.
More or less a sabbatical because she is away at Stanford for 10 months on a fellowship. Mm-hmm. So she is still
staff.
Other people who have been staff this year but have quit are no longer staff. And that's a clear distinction. So if on staff at the time of bonus, they are included in the bonus. If you have been on the payroll at some time but are not on the payroll at the time of the bonus, we don't do the bonus. if that's been practiced.
Like the wording here states that look at others that have left their jobs, such as Arthur Martin Gann, but Jane hasn't left her job.
She has not left her job. She is on leave, which is quite different.
So when the
yes, what is the difference a verb makes?
Decided to spend $10,000. That's parceled out by hours worked, or by the amount you've made, or by experience.
It's,
like I don't remember
it's a,
how.
It's a formula, and Debbie has it down. But it's based on tenure, as well as based on your position. As far as are you part time or full time? So full time staff. I think those who have capped, especially full-time staff, get their full bonus, as opposed to somebody who's part-time who just started yesterday, which would be the case of BJ, our web coordinator. She would not get a full bonus because she hasn't been here long enough. And then other part-time staff that we have, and we've had some changes structurally with people to increase their hours, and I think there's some way to balance that as well, to compensate them for taking on extra hours mid year sort of thing.
Paula, when you said that checking, doing a comparison to the market that they're grossly underpaid, I have no doubt that that's true. Are you looking at other community nonprofit stations, or are you looking at the commercial market?
No, I actually, one of the finance committee projects that we had was also looking at the Pacifica Network. And I also took it upon myself to look at other community stations that are a little bit more comparable, because Pacifica has a lot of money.
And
they had a lot of staff.
Big cities.
But they've done a lot of layoffs, especially this year. They've been pretty troubled, which is why I was saying that KBOO has issues, but there's a lot more stability. No, I just mean in the general nonprofit market, if you just take away the community media aspect of it, nonprofits do generally tend to pay less than for-profits, but it's really rare, even at a nonprofit level, to find the budget that we have, to find the staff experience level that we have, and have people still making like $30,000. Because when you parcel that out per hour, and we all, I think, pretty much know that the staff, part-time or full-time, work more than their prescribed hours, it becomes a real concern, at least for somebody like me with past HR experience. So it's been a little bone of contention for me. So, and the bonus helps a little bit. But you know, really, it's not that much when you consider it. You know, I mean.
Well, I think it's great that we've been able to avoid layoffs.
Yeah.
But my opinion is, given the deficit that we have, that I don't want to be a Grinch, and I sure appreciate all the hard work that the staff does, but if they're willing to go without it, I think that maybe we should think about that just for this year, and perhaps we should really talk about this cost of living increase thing, because that would be a very fair way of approaching, you know, this particular problem. But I think being that we're in deficit, you know, we might want to have to seriously consider. I mean, we haven't had layoffs, and that's a good thing. So, you know, it's kind of an emergency situation.
While I agree with that, I think that's kind of setting, it's kind of making a bad statement of, well, you still have a job, so, you know, you should be thankful. I mean, the staff here really are underpaid. When I went to GRC and talking to some of the different people at different stations about how much they get paid, and hearing how much people here get paid, they're like, oh my God, really?
And for the cost, and for
that's the reality of it. So to say, well, we haven't had layoffs, so let's just be happy about that, is, I think, really sends not exactly the best message to people who are working really hard, working a lot of hours, and really busting their humps for the station. So
I did try to make it clear that I appreciate all the hard work and recognize that they work much harder than what they're paid. And I'm not trying to send any message. I'm just trying to be pragmatic.
Is there a motion? Did anyone move?
No, we're discussing it.
Well, you should say some motion.
Yes.
Yeah,
Marty comes first.
Marty,
and
oh.
Chris on
the grid.
Actually, you're talking about our equipment purchase. Our organization spends money. Figure, will it cost me more if I spend this money or if I don't? If we don't get this equipment, will it cost? Will we make less money? Will there be some cost in some way?
Benefit, no.
Right, exactly. It's the same for this too. if we don't spend the money on our people, mm-hmm. it's going to cost us more not to spend the money. Mm-hmm. Are people going to leave? Are people are we not going to be able to hire people? Are people not going to perform? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but we have to think about that. Does it cost more if we don't spend the money?
I think it is unfortunate that we're looking at it in regards to staff bonus. And I agree with what everybody says, that the staff is underpaid. I guess the thing is that I'm thinking about this past year and a lot of turmoil that happened, and it happened on all sides. So that makes it a little uncomfortable for me in regards to saying this is a year to be giving a bonus. And I'm not just saying it's just the staff, but I see the staff as being part of the picture of the staff, the board, the volunteers, you know, just all the way around. And so I really would like to see something addressed in regards to COLA in a real strong fashion. And I probably could support a little bit better, maybe 50% of it, of a bonus. And I don't feel comfortable saying any of this.
I would like to keep this going. We're 15 minutes late right now. Paula?
Just real quick. That was a finance committee suggestion as well regarding the bonus, is for the board to look at it and look at the staffing once again, look at the staffing structures, the pay, and also consider a COLA increase for the staff across the board. We have one particular employee who is mostly commission-based and has seen very little commission because of decisions or lack thereof that we mm-hmm. as a station have made, and is grossly, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation if you were to actually, just kind of look at it month to month in numbers. Whether or not he's actually even minimum wage would be questionable, given the way his position is structured and the way he's been paid and the way he even receives payment. So that's a whole other thing, and that's a board thing to do and contend with, which is why I'm staying in here for the minutes as well as in the audio, because it's serious. And it's not really a bonus, again, because a bonus would only happen if you had profit. And this being a nonprofit, that's always hard to do anyway, but this is especially true given the deficit. So it's called a bonus because that's what it's been called historically, but everybody on finance, I think I can speak for everyone on finance because it came up last year as well. And the board, which also had no problems calling it a bonus last year when we were still facing a deficit, it's really just an adjustment, essentially.
Like balance.
Trying to keep it a little more balanced. As much as we can.
I'd really like to keep
going. One quick comment, just to Marty's concerns, which are very valid about turnover. The staff has already said that they're okay with not getting it, so I don't think we're under threat of losing anybody over it.
Well, I'm not sure if I have an answer to this, but it's constant.
Just want to point that out.
We don't know, and it's also asking for loyalty and giving loyalty at the same time. And I'm not sure what the answer is, because I'm uncomfortable with spending more money.
Does anyone? I have a motion to make that's not about this, which is that Paul has raised the fact that she believes, as finance chair, that there are minimum wage violations going on. That cannot be. So I move that someone on staff start doing timesheets and making sure that no one is not paid minimum wage, and they either have to be paid more or they have to be told not to work, because we can't, now that we're on notice that that's happening, we have to take action to stop that.
I second that.
Vote. All in favor? And do you know who would be appointed for keeping that desk?
Sorry.
Debbie overall is the keeper of the timesheets. I'll go ahead and inform the people.
In a hypothetical situation where there's a huge time crunch, say, for example, the Blues Festival and equipment failure, or doing a membership drive where there's a project, a process going on, and it's like all of a sudden, wham, is it possible somehow if staff members, wanted desperately to finish what they were doing, they would become volunteers?
No,
that actually
they just stop.
Right.
And someone else. So who's going to decide if someone has
I'm sorry,
staff members
this is
stop? Then who takes over?
I'm sorry. If you can ask this, and it's a wonderful thing to ask. It's about salaries and all of that, and it gets into exempt status, non-exempt status. I can explain everything I know, but it's not on topic for this agenda.
Okay, sorry.
So talk to me at
okay.
a break. We'll have a cigarette. It'll be fabby.
Does someone want to make a motion about staff bonus or not? I mean, if we don't make a motion, there's nothing to vote on, and we move on, and it just doesn't pass.
Can I
finish,
Chair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll do it. I make a motion to go ahead and pay the staff bonus as of this budgeting.
That can happen?
Yes.
Can we add to that we revisit the COLA?
Finance is already
situation.
Finance is already doing that, but there's not enough time to do that for this particular year.
Yeah, no,
so
I think, yeah.
Yes, for the
going forward.
Going sure. forward, that cost of living has been discussed.
I'll second the motion.
Second?
Now there's a motion, so I will start my discussion, which is that I'm not going to support this because we voted a bonus a couple of years ago. The staff came back all mad at us, and we said, well, let's have a COLA and raise it, and that never happened. And from what I understand from what Paula said, giving a bonus is going to dilute all the money due to tax consequences, and it doesn't really help. So I'm not in favor of it, despite the fact that I support the staff and think they should be paid more.
Anything else? And a vote? All in favor?
Who was the second for?
So he was at
2 years. All opposed?
This is my roofing job.
Two abstain? A tarp.
I would move to spend $5,000 to add to the retirement fund. If anyone.
Does that have to be decided to them?
It does.
Well, yeah. So
yeah.
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 We do.
Yeah, the retirement.
That was another benefit that the staff said they didn't want.
Okay.
Then you would like to second?
I'll wait. Well, you need a second in order to.
I will second.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I think there's a bonus, some sort of thing about a retirement that's now a policy, which is you would look at it in January and review the calendar year, not the fiscal year. Is that a policy?
It will be revisited for fiscal year 2000 fiscal year 2011 for the whole calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'll withdraw my motion and say that I would support in January adding money to this budget in the retirement fund since we didn't catch the bonus.
Appreciate the thought.
There's something here about Aaron Meehy's position that under operations position part-time, or is that something different?
Can I address that? Aaron Meehy. There's two elements. One is the budget to pay for a half-time position. And the second is to actually approve a job description and a transfer interview. You have a white sheet of paper and a blue sheet of paper. The white sheet is Aaron Yankee's current job. Yeah, any new board members? I got some extras.
I love reading pieces.
What?
I love reading pieces.
Oh, well, you're going to love me because I...
I love the emails, too.
Yeah, I got one. Left. Okay, so for the board, Erin Yankee started out, she's not an employee, she's a contract person paid by the hour with a different wage structure from employees. She doesn't get vacation time or health or dental insurance. After Arthur left in February, we added about 7 hours a week to her job. She's doing additional operations and training. She took some of my work away from me as program director because I took on some of the management work. And she's up to 19 hours a week. It's clear that this could be a half-time position of operations and training, mostly training. So the white sheet is what she does now when she originally worked 12 hours a week only with the youth collective. And another 7 hours is she has done trainings for adult volunteers. She does the listening sessions. She does easily 160 hours of sound exchange reporting per year, which is what, 4 weeks a year of typing up stuff. She is coordinating all of the classes for news, training, legal class, etc. Plus, actually, things like coming to staff meetings every other week, not every week, but every other week, and also assisting with pledge drives. So all of those kind of things that are other duties is assigned. So the blue sheet would be more of a boilerplate. As most of our job descriptions are written, of creating a half-time position called training and operations. 80% of it is still the youth group, and the rest of it, the third section in there is actually the additional duties as assigned. So she would start at the base pay rate of whatever the base
pay.
Yes. So she actually, whoever you hire, whether it's Aaron Yankee or not, whoever gets hired starts as a beginning employee, 6 months probation, the beginning salary. They get reviewed every year for step raises. A couple of questions people have brought up about transfer interviews and our EEO policy. If we post a job within KABU, an employee under our EEO policy, which is vetted under Oregon state law, can do a transfer interview. So you're not doing a public, you're not posting a job or doing a public hire or putting a hiring committee together. The board could approve the job, the hours, the job description, the pay rate, etc. You could then decide to have one or more people do a transfer interview. So Aaron, of course, wants to do the interview. If you decide that she, in fact, is the person who should move from this current contract job into a half-time job, you would then offer it to her, and then you would close down the previous job, which would cease to exist. If you didn't hire her, then you would put together a hiring committee, and you'd post the job publicly and do all of that kind of stuff. Does that all make sense?
So I move that we approve the revised job description for the training and operations coordinator and that we allow Aaron Yankee to interview for the position as a transfer.
I second that.
Any discussion?
Did personnel draft this or did you draft it?
He
drafted it and it went by personnel who approved it unanimously.
And some staff also weighed in on it as well.
Question. Right now she's working 12 hours.
19.
19, sorry, I missed that. As a contract.
yeah.
person.
And she's doing some program director work as well as...
She's doing clerical work that I used to do. I'm doing management work that Arthur used to do. So I have to...
So she took some of your load.
Yeah.
Would she be continuing to do that as well if we increased her hours and put her on staff?
I would. It's in the job description as other duties is assigned, and I would really love to continue. The other thing is, actually, as of October 1st, I think she would go back to 12 hours because the agreement back in February was she and Mel Resler and Zale got additional hours added through the fiscal year.
Right.
But this addition is already in the budget.
Yes.
We already budgeted it, but we just didn't approve the change.
One other point would be there's no change in insurance, health or dental, because if you budgeted for a station manager, then that money would have gone into that position. So that was already in the budget. There's not an additional expense.
Do you think we're getting away cheaper this way?
I'm sorry.
We're saving $38,000.
Right, this is what it sounds like to me, yeah.
And I just wanted to point out that the expanded things that Erin has been doing and will continue to do, it's not only from Chris's desk, but it's a lot of the operations pieces that often were falling through cracks before she started doing them at all. Also, some of the things are from my plate, coordinating training.
So this will give us a chance to tighten up organization as well. Exactly. Right. We're not just making her be not an employee for that one hour.
Right, and also to say that she's not a contract. She's hourly employee. It's not a contract employee, which are different.
Okay. Legal needs.
Yeah, I know.
What can you do?
I seem to remember in past years where we've had a training person, you know, just as an anti-handling person. And I'm really happy to see this happen in terms of development regarding where Erin, you know, she does do training with the youth and to expand those skills to the entire community. Can really help integrate the youth and the adults together, and I really like seeing the direction that this is going.
Yeah, actually, there's another, we added a sentence in the new job description that says part of her responsibility is to integrate youth past the youth collective training into other positions at KBOO. We've had a couple of 20-year-olds who've ended up engineering the labor show, for example, so they moved into actually just doing adult volunteer work.
Nice.
The other, also, if you remember the Marilyn Pittman trainings, one thing Erin has taken on is listening sessions. So that would be a new thing about once a month for people to come in and listen to shows and do critiquing, applying those things. So that she adds that into this job also.
Call for the question.
Yeah.
Do we
want
to vote on this?
Yes.
All in favor?
And she's a scorpion.
No, figure.
Yeah, she's like,
she's a fairy. I was going to say, like a scorpion.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I think we are taking a break after.
After this was the set up the meet and greet for the new board members.
Did you add the minutes? Do people, I have copies of the last month's minutes if people want to look at them during the break.
That would be great if we could do it during break.
Did we ever get the minutes straightened out for the last couple of months?
Yeah, well, from before, yeah, but we have July and August that we haven't approved.
We're taking a break right now?
No, setting up the meet and greet, then break.
Really?
Yep. You know, if we can get this through Chris and Ani and ourselves, we can take a break in 2 minutes. Her staff report was coming.
Wait, Chris, don't leave yet.
Wow, there's a station report. 2 minutes over after the last one?
And then,
I didn't get it on the line.
Well, there also is another choice you might ask John. I think there's a program they get.
So, looking at possible dates for the meet and greet. So, this would be for new board members, most especially outgoing board members, doesn't matter so much. And I'm going to guess that if people want to do this before the
October board meeting, it's the 25th.
Right. This is the board meet and greet, sort of orientation, where we're at, what we're doing.
I wanted to seek the handshake.
Are weekends or evenings better for people?
Yes.
Awesome.
What is the 25th?
Monday.
Monday.
The 16th is National Boss Day, according to Franklin Company.
If we can get some of the new board employees to chime in.
Is there, I might propose the 16th.
What time of day is this?
If it's a weekend, it could be daytime. Otherwise, it seems evening is probably.
16th. What's the last day of the drive?
The 16th.
Well, Chris probably has a purpose to travel. So
I hate having to drive it twice, but I'll do it. Right. Sometimes it's not a Wednesday.
Okay.
Would a Saturday work better for you, Chris? Or Sunday the 17th?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, no.
Let's find out what Chris Irving wants.
Well, no, it's not all bad. But we're asking if Saturdays are better for people in general, and I'm hearing maybe, yeah.
Saturday or Sunday.
And we need to have someone to blame if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, right.
So, no good deeds unpunished. So, Saturdays, yes? I'm not hearing a no on Saturdays.
Yes.
Saturday right. Reports. Okay.
Do we hear the 16th or the 23rd?
I prefer not right before the board meeting.
Yeah, let's
do the
16th.
Okay. And we'll have to find a place for it.
The old board meeting.
Or, you know what? Actually, allow me to say this about that. Either we find a place for it, it's on Sunday. One of the two, because Saturday, this is the last day of the membership drive. This room will be membership central.
Does Sunday work?
Or Sunday.
Sunday's fine.
Sunday's works.
Sunday work for the board?
Yeah, Sunday's fine.
The day after boss day?
17th?
The day after boss day.
Every day is boss day.
Yeah, no sure.
What do they need it late for?
Yeah. I don't know, French or Cubby. What do you say? Ask them.
Sunday the 17th.
Sunday the 17th, I heard earlier than not?
Yes.
So do we say 3 hours, 10 to 1?
Oh, dear.
11 to 2? How long is this usually? The last time I went to a
it's
board
like
orientation.
We all know. Yeah.
Okay, the last time I went to a board orientation, it was 3 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be
okay, let's call it 2. You want to say 11 to 1?
Yes.
11 to 1.
And I think maybe Judy made the point if it's possible to have outgoing board members there, that would be nice.
Yeah, you got it too? Yeah. All this time.
It's a date.
All right,
he's saying outgoing or present?
Both.
Right? Yeah, present board members. New board members, most professionals
don't have to be there. Yeah. If that's the case, they can always wait till the board meeting as well.
Well, I do believe that the orientation is
it's not the orientation.
Is this different than the annual retreat?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Because I think that's the staff's order.
Well, yeah.
We are coming up on half an hour over schedule right now. If we could move into a station report by Chris and staff.
I thought we were going to agree.
No,
we'll cut a few minutes off.
Okay.
We'll make it fast.
Yes.
We have a membership drive. It's starting on Friday. We're very, very, well, I'm very, very taken up with that right about now, as is many, many of our staff. So between that, and I have to say the elections this last month, and actually helping to assert community standards through a time of great contention, not over one issue, not over two issues, but over many, many issues, because this has been a month of it, has been KBOO's buoyantly democratic seas. So that's a big slice of the staff report for this month, trying to assert community values, trying to recommend good process, whether or not those recommendations are taken or yet to be seen. We have more. Over to you, Chris.
All right.
Yeah,
hi,
can't hear you, Judy.
I was just commending that. I thought they did. Chris and Bonnie did a really good job setting up hotels for the meeting and putting things in the way as possible as possible. I appreciate it.
A few laughs for first 10 minutes.
Great.
I was actually going for the Professor Harold Hill. Next year I'm going as Marlene at Dietrich.
Ooh!
Blue Angel era.
Okay. I've been working on the Pretzi grant. That's the Marilyn Pittman stuff from a year and a half ago. We just had a meeting last week. It was sparsely attended. It was for KBOO programmers, but Kathleen and I were there. We got a really good amount of info about how to structure the survey and have another meeting in the future. We sent out a survey to about 200 programmers and volunteers. We'll have another meeting probably in early November, which would be open to the public with an online survey for the public. That would have a facilitator and refreshments, and we would try to wrap it up with a final report and a budget by November 30th, which puts us about 5 months behind the original deadline. They're very generous. They're not too concerned about it. I've been working on harassment complaints, and I have a report that would be in a closed session later this evening. An update on Michael Papadopoulos's new lawsuit. We are setting a court date of October the 26th. It's actually a 20-minute preliminary presentation to a judge to determine if there's actually a case to take to court. So the details would be that Michael asserts that when the board unseated him in October of last year, they didn't have the authority to do so. The bylaw about the board removing a board member goes towards cause, which would be criminal activity, fraud, etc. So he is arguing that if he was removed because he was ineligible because of his citizenship, the board didn't have the authority to do that. Our position would be the board had to follow federal law, so the board had to declare him ineligible and unseat him. So his attorney and our attorney will do 20 minutes and discuss the issue and see if it gets tossed out or not, or if it proceeds to the actual trial, official court hearing.
When is that?
That's October 26th. I guess that's a Tuesday. Our insurance company accepted our claim. I think we mentioned it last month. So the deductible is $2,500, and that's it. And any additional expenses, our insurance company is covered. So that's about it.
This is for lawsuits. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you know that correct? Yeah. I have a question. The service that you're talking about, because Park is talking about the survey,
Tiffany, honey, could you speak up a little bit?
Sorry. I was just asking Chris, he was talking about a survey to be done, I think, maybe for, I'm not sure, programmers and listeners and volunteers in November as part of the Pittman project. And Harka, I believe, was talking about doing some survey in October. And so I guess I would like to see some coordination going on if that's okay. Really what's in the works.
I could talk to the park folks. I'll bring the survey to the board after the break, so you could see what we were handing out at the meeting.
Is it a box?
Actually, yeah. You have. It's also a blue sheet. Actually, if you go to your mailbox, there's a blue sheet like that that's got two pages of the survey in for it. So that's what we were handing out.
Well, just don't want the.
Yes, we need to file an annual ownership report, and and I know that we've sent out, Chris has sent out emails, and I've received information from most people. There was one question not on the email that Chris sent out, which is, do any of the board members own not only any part of KBOO, which is no, but do you own any part of any other media? So you can either all tell me that answer right now, or you can send it to me in an email that I'll be sending out tomorrow to remind everybody.
This is for new board members.
Well, it's for new board members, but it's for anybody who wasn't a board member last year. So, for example, Kurt, Nia fit in that because you snuck in right before we filed it. Louis, you won't be here. Marty, you were elected.
Jim.
Here's what I have. I have Jim Craven. I need that question. I need Keller. I need Paula. I need Devin. Chris, I need all of your. If you received an email from,
I did.
From,
I sent it back.
I should send it back.
I'm
so you'll get
it. I didn't
it, so.
Know I was just direct.
Well, there's some.
To see it to you also.
Well, there. Okay. Well, that's fine. We'll get it. No, no, no. That's not your problem. I just wanted
okay.
to say it out loud while
own
we're
any
all here
bits of cable
together
I
here.
Own any. I'm not exactly a media mogul,
but
Murdoch of
Troutvale. So just so everybody knows, this is something I'm to file by the end of the month. So we're to file by the end of the month.
You can call me Rupert if you like.
Rupert. And so what I'll be doing is sending out an email tomorrow to everybody who I haven't, don't have, whatever pieces of information I don't have. So I'll just ask you to look for that and respond.
Before the end of this month, meeting September.
Well, yes, okay. Exactly. Look at that and respond when you get it, so that I can type that up and get it off.
Got two more things.